everybody. This is the world famous Mark Bernay
and the not world famous Wes.
Okay. And we're at SWAD
in Lafayette or Lafayette, California.
Weren't we always supposed to go to Orinda? Wasn't that the original deal with podcast? We'd always go to Orinda, California because we were proud of our association with Orinda, California.
Your phone is vibrating.
And you're pointing? I checked in. That's okay.
Okay. You checked in?
I checked in with Bright Kite.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the... No, we weren't. Well, we were, but only because of the one company that was in Orinda, California that you're familiar with.
Right. That I always want to play the tape recording of.
Yeah.
Well, so I never get around to finding it.
We should do that. So this is the WNO show, which is the What's New Is Old show, where we relate new technology and faddish type things to old technology. Because we feel there's generally a dependence there or some kind of a link.
And actually, we just eat dinner and just blab while we're eating dinner.
Oh, okay. So,
we're thinking seriously of changing our show to the name Slurpcast, S-L-U-R-P-C-A-S-T. And by the time this show gets on the air, I will probably have obtained Slurpcast.com because it is available right now. So try going to Slurpcast.com. And that'll be the new web headquarters for our show.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's at whatsnewisold.blogspot.com.
Yep.
And that's a text blog that's really a backup for the audio podcast. Because if we give out URLs or any technical information in here, we'll have pointers to it there, so you don't have to take notes while you're listening to the podcast.
For people who are not sure if they want to subscribe to the feed, it allows them an easy way to actually just click a link and start listening to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
So Mark and I get together weekly to talk about technology and have a good time, and we put together different notes and discuss different things that are going on.
So, what do I want to start with? I have some notes, but nothing that exciting. Both of us last week had the same item that we didn't get around to, called Meet Sense Networks. And you know, there's, things like Bright Kite or Dodgeball or different types of websites where you check in where you are and your friends can find you. If you give people authority to look at your location, people can find out where you are without having to call you up and say, "Where are you at?"
Right.
And stuff like that. So,
which your friends do.
Yeah.
They say, "Where are you at?"
I have my "Where you at" machine with me right now.
Oh, look at that. That's a good "Where you at."
Yeah, that's my "Where you at" machine.
This is the boost.
Look at that. Yeah, isn't that cute?
So I have somebody
Nextel has one that size also.
Okay. Now this is pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's light. It's extremely light.
Yeah.
What's the battery life?
I never use it that much, so I don't know.
This is the 425?
Yeah, maybe not that much.
It's got an LCD display.
It has a web browser. It has a web browser.
Is that a secure digital?
No, not at all. No, that's the push to talk button.
Oh.
Is this walkie-talkie is the Nextel.
Okay.
Anyway, so the only two people I ever talked to with it, I always push the button and say, "Where are you at?"
Because of the commercial.
Because you're supposed to do that with Boost Mobile. Anyway,
okay.
So unlike those other ones, this MeetSense thing is a different concept where it just tracks yourself. If you give it permission, it'll track where you are, but not really tell people exactly where you are. Instead, people can look at a map of the city and see where all the cell phones are.
Right.
So you don't really track any individual phone, but if you see it some corner of the city somewhere, all of a sudden hundreds of phones that are part of this network are congregating there. You kind of know something must be up, and then you can run over there and look at what's going on.
So like Moscone Center, the Worldwide Developer Conference for Apple, those kinds of things would probably show good results.
But they would all the time, because they always have conferences that are, I don't know. But
That's cool. How does it work, though? How do you think they detect all the different cell phones? Is it something that...
It has to be by GPS. The cellular carrier wouldn't just give them permission. Yeah, I guess they might try to work with cellular carriers to see if they can just get an accumulated number of phones per location.
Okay.
But I bet the cell carriers would never allow that. So probably it's just for GPS-enabled phones of their members.
Okay.
You know, they would just have an accumulation about where they are. So all three members of a service like that, you know, it's the kind of thing, no one's going to subscribe to that. No one's really going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So they'll get too few people to really get a good reading, I suspect.
Okay.
That's an interesting idea anyway.
That's cool. That's very cool. Yeah.
But is Bright Kite open? If brightkite.com still needs invite codes, just talk to us and let us know you need one, because I can give you one, but it may be open to the public now, I forget.
I don't know, because like a lot of other people, I really haven't been trying to use BrightKite in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because I'm the only one that will. So there's people who use it, but nobody I know.
Okay.
People I know have all dropped it. But speaking of, the other thing, actually, that's a freebie, that's actually very good, but you definitely still do need an invite for, is getdropbox.com.
Okay.
It's kind of, Microsoft is doing something like it, which also needs beta test codes, but I don't know how to give you one on the Microsoft side.
Hmm.
But getdropbox.com, I have like 9 invites that I could give out.
Wow.
And
hi.
Here we go. I haven't even looked.
I'm pretty much going to go with what I have all the time. I'll do the chicken malai tikka.
Lamb korma. Can I get a garlic naan as an appetizer? And some rice. See, that's why it's a slurp cast. We order food and slurp.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So, naan bread with the milk.
Do you want naan bread if we're going to get the...
No, just... No.
Just
the garlic naan as an appetizer and then rice.
Yep. Thank you. But the thing about the BrightKite, I intercepted an article from your adversary, Chris Perillo, who despises giving out personal information of any kind and feels that BrightKite is an invasion because you're actually telling people personal information about where you are.
Thank you. But you can control it, though. You can control what the public knows. You can control friend by friend what they'll know. Because you can give out information, like, to the level of only the city or the general neighborhood you're in or the exact address you're in.
Okay.
You can control that person by person.
Yeah.
Not that
bad. But he's just sort of saying the general idea of letting people know where you are is silly and stupid, and the only person that he really cares about would be his wife, and she's the only person that needs to know about where he is anyway.
Right.
I didn't even know he had a wife.
Yeah, he does, too. This is the second one.
What?
This is the second one.
His second wife?
Yes.
You mean he's married?
Once, divorced, and then married again. That's what I mean. But anyway.
Okay.
So, how about, instead of a slurp cast, how about a crunch cast? But we're not Captain Crunch.
No, that
sounds too much like Captain Crunch, so we can't do that.
Blue Box cast?
Yeah. We're not playing with the Blue Box. We're slurping and crunching this one.
Okay.
So anyway, getdropbox.com, which I think is the company. It's just really great. It's a very great product. Company seems to have everything together except for that domain name is stupid, because other than the fact that the domain name is getdropbox.com, everywhere else they call themselves Dropbox.
Okay.
But they don't own Dropbox.com. And they don't own my Dropbox.com. Stuff like that. They own getdropbox.com.
Probably too expensive for them to buy it.
Yeah. So you just don't call yourself something when you don't have the domain name.
Right.
They're not Dropbox.com. They're pretending that they are. And go change the name of the company.
But then you end up like Podshow, where you have to scrounge around for a .com name, and you end up becoming Mevio.
Yeah. I know. But...
Anyway,
I really like getdropbox.com. It works very well. You install it on multiple computers. I forget now whether it's Windows only. They certainly intend to be cross-platform. I forget the story of right now whether it's Windows only. But anyway, you install this on multiple computers.
Okay.
And it just keeps them all synchronized, basically.
Over the internet?
So in any files, anything you do in any of the machines within a couple of minutes, as long as you don't do too much, it's very fast, and within a minute or two all the other machines will reflect the identical changes. And it shows it on the website also. All the files are available on their website as well.
They store them on their site
They store them on their site as well. As well, you know. But they'll tell you how encrypted they are and everything, so it's okay.
If I want my porn shared between multiple computers, I certainly don't want it stored somewhere in between on the internet, available to the public or available to another company, or available when the government comes knocking and says, "Hey."
But that's part of the point, though, of that site is that you can get everything, you can get all your files off the internet and off the web as well.
Okay.
When you're traveling somewhere else,
is there a fee to the storage space or
no? It's up to 2 gigabytes that right now is free.
That's good.
And I think they're promising to keep that level for free and then charge if you have more than that or something.
That kills.
I forget though.
That kills my freebie.
Yeah.
Because my freebie was a way to get a Gmail account to act FTP site.
You have a point there. Yeah, you have a point there. There's a lot of free sites now. Yeah, your Gmail thing is interesting technically, but we can talk about that later. But there's a lot of freebie things nowadays anyway. So the other thing is, get Dropbox can also have shared folders. You can determine which folders remain private to you, and which folders will synchronize on your friends.
Hmm.
So if you want to share a folder, you don't have to share it where they have to download things from the web. That folder on their hard drive will be synchronized with a folder on your hard drive, but without letting them share your entire Dropbox.
So,
I like it. I'm using it with my notebook now because I have this drive I call the R drive, and
that sounds like a sitcom or a TV show.
The R drive?
Yeah, the R drive.
It's the R drive.
Reality TV.
Can we do that? But anyway,
look up the website.
Okay.
Domain name.
So the R drive has all my business things. It has all the files that I always need to get to for any business reasons and that need to be backed up thoroughly and stuff like that.
Okay.
So the R drive physically exists on my two servers.
Uh-huh.
My two servers are my Windows 2003 servers are using the Microsoft facility to synchronize the drive between those two. So just as a redundancy, there anything that changes on one goes to the other one. And then my other machines just over the network attach that portion of the server's drive to get the R drive is really just a portion of these two server drives.
Okay.
You know. And then my notebook, I used again network facilities over the internet to have my notebook synchronized with that.
Okay.
And I use the Windows offline technology. If you have Windows XP or you have an NTFS drive, you can right click on a folder or a file and say check to use it offline.
Okay.
And then Windows will then automatically synchronize it when it's available.
Okay.
But it's just pretty kludgy. There's just a lot of weirdnesses about Windows method of synchronization. So
I don't like their administration stuff. Yeah. Like how you go about setting files and adding user accounts and things like that.
Right.
It just seems really difficult to set up.
Well, that's why this is just for me. I don't have to worry about that stuff because I just have the security always just for me.
Okay.
But just my notebook just has troubles getting at that drive, and then it'll try to use it online, but then if the signal drop, if it can't get it online, it'll switch over to the local copy, but there's a lot of overhead and weirdness that goes on as it's switching, where you're away from the drive for a while, and then if you want to synchronize the files back up again, you have to do work. It's just a pain. So I switched over to the Dropbox instead, and so the server still synchronized. All my other machines in the house and office just synchronized directly the old way.
Okay.
But the my notebook, I'm using the Dropbox method. They're just so much smoother.
Huh.
Well, it has an internet connection. It'll synchronize. If not, they'll just use the files locally because they're just really there on real disk space. They're not hidden away in weird offline network stuff. So I like it. And then Microsoft, I say, has something identical called Mesh. If you go to mesh.com, but it's not as obvious how to sign up for that. I can't give people an invite code for that.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, okay. Then
it's okay.
But the other problem with me for Mesh is that Mesh just has some weirdness that it does where it won't work on Windows 2003 servers. It'll only work on XP and Vista machines.
Why is that?
I don't know. And then on Vista, it's very picky on Vista. It used to refuse to run if you had user account control turned off. And then it won't run on elevated accounts and stuff like that. There's kind of a bunch of weirdnesses about it.
Okay.
So for things and reasons like that, I can't use it. They claim that they're going to fix all that stuff eventually. But anyway, that's why I like the Get Dropbox one, because it's really exactly the same concept, but doesn't have all the intrusive weirdness that Microsoft is doing.
Well, there's, we talked about, what was it, tubes.com, and there's drop.io. There's a bunch of different services that act sort of the same way, where you have like an application that sits on your desktop,
right,
and you can literally drag files into it, and then those files automatically become shared with people who are interested.
Right. Okay. Well, what
similar,
I like,
yeah, similar.
Yeah, but I don't want it to be shareable in theory. I want them to just be there. I want my notebook to have exactly the same hard drive as all my other machines.
I see.
So just everything's out there all the time.
Okay.
You don't have to do any work. And if I change a file on my notebook, the change will automatically be reflected on the other machines, no matter where I am with my notebook.
Thank you.
No. Have we talked about Hamachi yet?
No.
Because the other trick I was doing with the notebook, if you just try to do Windows' own method of having a hard drive or using another machine's hard drive offline.
Oh.
Yeah. My story. What was that? Which one? I lost the story. Oh my god. Huh.
Yeah,
we know.
Father's Day.
Come on. I don't know why I lost.
We have plenty of stories.
I don't know why I lost. Oh, I lost the first page of that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I can fake it for that. So the problem with that is that there's a lot of places you can go to where they'll have a firewall that won't let you do a direct network connection. I mean, you might be able to web browse and all that, but if I try to have my notebook connect using the Microsoft network technology
mm-hmm.
with the drive at my house, the firewalls would block it.
Okay.
So what you can use in that case, and this is a very handy free thing called Hamachi, if you go to logmein.com, have we talked about that?
No.
Because logmein.com is actually the greatest freebie of all.
Mark's like a knowledge base of like
yeah.
recent technology and websites.
Yeah. I've been using LogMeIn and Hamachi for years.
Okay.
Go to LogMeIn, LogMeIn.com, and you can install Hamachi from there. And it's kind of an alternative networking methodology that works with Windows Network to let you get through firewalls and stuff, because Hamachi can find its other ends no matter what you are, no matter what kind of firewall you're at. It'll figure out some way through it and figure out how to get to your other machines. So install Hamachi on all your machines, and then network through the Hamachi. Or Hamachi installs itself as a network adapter.
Okay.
With its own unique IP addresses for each machine and all that.
All right.
So you just network everything through the Hamachi adapter and those special IP addresses for each machine, and all of a sudden the Windows networking just works without firewall issues.
Wow.
And then LogMeIn. You probably heard advertisements for GoToMyPC.
Yep.
Which is a way of logging in, bringing up the keyboard and display of your computer remotely.
For those who are familiar with Timbuktu, it's similar to that. You can control a machine remotely.
Right. And then there's also, there's freeware things you can get, like VNC. VNC is a generic name for a set of free products that was originally developed by Bell Labs of England or something like that. That are cross-platform that let you log in from a Windows machine into a Linux machine or whatever.
And they're
totally free, but they're kind of weird to configure.
Yeah.
So you can just look around. Again, there's various VNC projects that split off in a lot of different directions. There's many different versions of VNC.
Pocket PC versions. There'll probably be an iPhone version.
Right. But, well, maybe not.
I don't know about that.
Maybe there will. There's not yet, because no one knows about anything like that yet. But anyway, so VNC. So you can install, go find freeware of VNC for each platform. But GoToMyPC makes sense because it's just much easier. You just go to a web page and click on one of your PCs and it just takes over my remote control.
But it costs money.
But they
money.
Charge money. They
yes.
charge a lot of money, right. So LogMeIn has free service and chargeable service. LogMeIn's free service does all that. It's just as user-friendly, just as easy to use as GoToMyPC, but totally free. But GoToMyPC also will let you get at your files remotely. It'll act as a kind of an FTP server and stuff. And the free LogMeIn won't do that level of things. But there's other products that'll let you do the file sharing stuff. So you could do the So whenever you hear people talking about GoToMyPC and how wonderful it is, LogMeIn does exactly the same thing for free as far as the remote login.
Huh.
So LogMeIn also happens to be the author of Hamachi, and that's where you get Hamachi is off the LogMeIn website.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's like the maker of Winamp, the company Nullsoft, which was really like a bunch of guys or a bunch of people, very small software company before they got purchased by AOL.
Right.
He, the one of the lead code guys, literally gave out a lot of experiments and code projects when they were purchased by AOL. And I'll have to get the link to his site, but it's got some very cool test applications and just very small little sound-related things, including the Shoutcast server software.
Well, that's right. I remember that whole controversy when he released it, and AOL was all pissed off about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to swear. I can say pissed because we're supposed to swear more, right?
Right. Yeah, one of our listeners enjoys when we get explicit.
One of our listeners? Our listener.
How about a listener that heard one of our shows?
Okay. Right. The listener who heard one of our shows.
The one listener.
I said he liked it when we swear. So.
It says, we don't swear that much.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's very rare that you hear us get vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rare that you hear four-letter words on the show. But there are some every once in a while.
You just said a four-letter word.
I did.
Show.
That's true.
You said a four-letter word starting with S.
I-P-O-D.
That's four-letter also. Oh, my God.
But shit, fuck, piss doesn't really have anything to do with...
No.
No, no. Mark is across the table from me. Anyway.
Slurping.
So it's my turn?
Yes.
To make Slurpcast really what it should be? All right, so they've talked about this before. Hold on, a truck is approaching. It's going to make a lot of noise. A lot of the social networks, social, what do they call them, P2P, person-to-person social networks like Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace. The one most popular, the one that has statistically more users on it than any of the other social services, social media networks.
Thank you.
Is MySpace.
Right.
And according to the BBC News, they have about 73% of the total market, with just 15% for Facebook and 1% for something called Bebo, which I've never used or heard of.
How do you call it?
Bebo.
Bebo.
B-E-B-O.
Hmm, not sure.
So Tom is claiming that they're due for a facelift, a huge facelift. It's going to change a lot of things and make it a lot easier.
Yeah, MySpace is kind of ugly by default.
The gist of the article that I read was that basically people are literally intimidated by the interface.
Okay.
So when you get on there, and I think it's not so much that new users are intimidated by the interface. I think it's that they see other people's MySpace pages and they like freak out because
it can be weird.
They can be huge.
Yeah.
Full of junk and animations and sound and just so many things going on at the same time. It's
Okay.
And by the way, that doesn't work in all browsers, so depending on who you are and what browser you're using, you never know. Anyway. So I think so there's gonna be some general simplification of MySpace and it's gonna be more cleaner.
By the way, can I give some advice to Tom and anyone else? If you're number one, maybe you shouldn't change so much, because if you change to copy the other ones, maybe you'll go down to number two or number three like they are.
That's true.
If you're already number one, maybe you should figure, maybe you don't understand why you're number one, but leave things alone.
Yeah, I think there's a common theme here, and that is with like the stock market and the price of gas and oil. It's like everybody's predicting. They're predicting, and they're making changes based on what they predict will happen, not necessarily what's going on right now. So in the case of MySpace, Tom's predicting that people are dropping off. Maybe he's saying people are dropping off, and that's possibly true just because new sites are being opened all around the place. But they may come back if what you have works.
Right.
And I think that's your point.
Okay.
So.
Wait, does Tom really exist?
Yes.
He's a real person? Is he actually one of the developers, one of the founders of it? Or is he just some publicity guy? Because we all know his picture, but does he have anything to do with it?
His name is Tom Anderson, and he's the MySpace president.
He actually is a real person?
Yeah.
And stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Isn't he too old to be on MySpace?
He looks too young.
Oh, yeah. To be president. That's true. That's true.
So.
But on the other hand, if he's president, he must be old enough, so he must be a pervert if he's hanging around MySpace, right?
Right. Because the majority of the girls on there, the young girls, are in their 20s.
Right.
So there's other sort of things that go along with that revamp, which is they're going to focus more on music.
Okay.
They're going to do some things where Tom was stating basically he's going to try to get major labels to contribute music. Good, thanks. So he's going to try to somehow link in some of the major music labels so that he can actually like host artists from the music labels, not just the individual artists creating their own pages, which is kind of what's going on right now.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah. Even Carly Commando has her site on MySpace.
Well, Tila Tequila.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot who she is. But
she's the bisexual, pretty Chinese or Asian woman who has become wildly popular because of her internet escapades.
Okay.
And I think she was on some reality TV show or was going to be on some reality TV show. Anyway.
Yeah, Carly Commando is the artist in the background of Noah Day by Day. It's a famous YouTube video.
Huh.
And it's so famous that The Simpsons did it. The Simpsons stole the idea and stole her music without her permission.
What?
And did a parody of Noah Day by Day using Bart Day by Day or something. But anyways, this guy named Noah, who over a period of years took one photograph of himself every day.
Oh yeah.
In exactly the same position. He has his face kind of in the same position.
I've seen this.
Very similar expressions on his face every day. I bet he alters it. I bet he just photoshops the pictures afterwards. Not to alter them, but I bet he crops the pictures every day to get his face in the same place.
Okay. Because
as you watch this video, his face is always in the same place, but his clothes in the background and then his hair, everything changes all the time.
Right.
And it just shows each picture for about a second. And then it has this music that's kind of like Philip Glass, but fully Harley Commando in the background.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, you've shown that to me.
Yeah.
You should actually come up with a link and...
Yeah, I think if I... But just search YouTube for Noah Day. You'll find it.
Okay. Yeah. Hmm.
So?
Speak.
So we're having dead air. Speak.
So I'm trying to gather the information on this one particular story, which I got off of iPod Hacks.
Okay.
That feed, and there's this ongoing controversy that nobody can settle on, which is why the iPod firmware and iTouch firmware has no flash capability built in.
Oh, right.
So when you use the Safari browser to go to these sites that have flash, you see a small, very small square or cube,
right.
And that's it. You don't actually see any of the animation or any of the flash.
Right.
This article that I was reading talks about something called Sprout Core, because basically Apple recently announced the JavaScript framework Sprout Core. So it's some sort of a competitive like flash player that supposedly iPhone will support. Now we've heard two different stories. One is that yes, iPhone will support flash in the 2.0 firmware upgrade, and now we're seeing that...
No, not directly, but Adobe's talking about having one, trying to get one ready.
No, Steve said, actually, he did say
flash?
That flash was on was going to be available.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, okay.
But it now looks like there's going to be some alternative flash player,
right.
And I don't know much about it, but there's this thing called Sprout Core.
Can it play flash videos? Can it play the file meant to be played by flash?
I don't know. Yeah, that's what I assume that's how it's going to have to work, right?
Right. Yeah, because otherwise, as long as it plays flash videos, who cares what they call it or who cares who wrote it? No, as long as it plays standard flash files, it doesn't really matter whether it's written by Apple or written by Adobe.
Yeah.
So as long as it really is fully compatible.
Well, there is rumor also in the same article that Silverlight will be supported.
On the Mac?
On the iPod?
On an iPod? Really? Okay.
So... Did that friendship with Microsoft get renewed when they started dealing with the Microsoft Exchange Server stuff?
Oh, well, that's a separate contract, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other one? Is this where we had the bees? This isn't the bee place.
No, the bee place is further down, but it is in the same geographic location.
Yeah. So where were we? I forget now.
The iPhone language and
Pocket PC. Oh, that's right. Okay. You know, what's interesting about Flash on the Pocket PC being the old version is that most of the time when I see Flash animations start to work on a web page, it's an ad because the people who write the Flash ads don't worry about versions and they just let it run.
Right.
Whereas people who write the Flash to be cute generally insist on the latest version and it won't run. Is it going to get mad if it lands on a hot spot of the field?
Yes.
Is it going to get mad? This thing
has he may have already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go away. Scram. Can I just have that piece? Yeah.
No, I'll eat it.
If you disturb it, it might get mad. I don't know. Wasp cast. Sounds like
just
white
too
people.
Hard to pronounce.
Just sounds like white people or something. Wasps, you know. So I was already. I may have talked about it last time that I was all ready to buy a 3G iPhone because
yes.
It seemed to have everything I needed. And I kind of worked out a solution.
And you
to
even
battery
found
problem.
A solution to the battery problem. Yeah.
Right. I even bought one. I even bought the solution to the battery problem.
Yes.
Just to force myself to go ahead and.
Good. We just have a wasp.
There's a wasp flying around.
Sorry.
There's a bug flying around.
Bee.
Yeah.
Food is good.
But I forgot one thing that I also kind of want out of a phone. That my cell phone, or really any Windows mobile phone, if you cheat a little bit, you can use it as a modem, as a cellular modem into a notebook.
Okay.
And depending on what your data plan is and stuff like that, you may or may not be able to cheat on it, use it without paying a lot more money extra and stuff like that. Or at least you can do it. Whereas the iPhone, unless you jailbreak the iPhone and run things illegally, you can't. There is no solution for that, and I doubt that AT&T will ever allow it. So you'll probably never be able to use an iPhone as a modem unless you jailbreak it. And if you jailbreak it, then you can get yourself in trouble because new versions of the Apple firmware may break your phone or whatever.
Well, as long as you're backing things up.
No, but it may break the phone to make the phone unusable. Usually after a few days,
you can restart
people
it.
Figure out how to get around that.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's times that people have installed new firmware on a jailbroken phone and the phone just got bricked.
Right.
Which, we have to come up with a new name here. Let's see if we can be ingenious.
Okay.
The word bricked for a phone.
Yes.
Means that the device just totally went dead, completely got destroyed, and you turn it on and just sits there.
Right.
Dead as a brick.
Right.
Because old-fashioned phones are big as a brick or something, maybe kind of big and stuff. So for something like
heavy
the iPhone...
and unusable?
Yeah. So for something like the iPhone, the word brick isn't really very meaningful. Because it's just very small and very thin and stuff.
But it's about the size of... You could say it's a brick.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, let's think about that. Is it going to come with some new
cracker?
Name?
Cracker?
Have you crackered your phone?
No. Have you graham crackered your phone? Because it's about the size of a graham cracker?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Anyway, let's think about that. It'll be the first one to
like
come up with
idea.
A new one.
Yeah. Turned it into a graham cracker. Mm-hmm. About the only thing else you can do with this is eat it.
Right.
Might as well get some milk and
let's think. Dude, we could be famous. We're really famous. We're the first one to come up with a modern word for brick.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's why I'm afraid to depend on a jailbroken phone to do use it as a modem into my notebook.
Okay.
So I don't know. Anyway, that's my dilemma right now. Do I really want an iPhone? Because I don't do that often. There's so much Wi-Fi around nowadays and free Wi-Fi everywhere. It's really kind of rare nowadays that I use it. But right, by sitting right here,
yeah.
If I wanted to use my notebook right here,
mm-hmm.
not that I have it with me, I would definitely plug in that cable and I'd start. I could do it by Wi-Fi also, but the battery life would be horrible.
Okay.
So I tend to do it by cable. But anyway, so I'll have to decide if I do that or not.
there's also the certain, what do you call it, faddish aspect to it. It's that if you have it, you can play with it and you can do all this, all sorts of things that that many, many people will have.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, here's my other problem.
If you don't have it, you won't know what people are talking about when they start talking about really cool applications.
Yeah, have I... See, if stop me if I talked about this one last time, because I may have. But the other problem with the iPhone is that everyone else has one. But I'm actually a pioneer in handheld web browsing.
Okay.
And I don't want to do what everybody else does. Damn it. Right. I was here first. Why aren't they doing what I'm doing? For example, okay. Remember the Scions,
There's
right?
good arguments to this.
But remember the Scions, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. I had a modem cable for my old Scion,
mm-hmm.
so I could plug that into a modem, and I could do very limited web browsing and email and stuff like that on my Scion, a very long number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I got a Sidekick, one of the first people. Actually, because I bought one as soon as the color Sidekicks came out. I'm not exactly a pioneer, because I never had the black and white Sidekick.
Okay.
But as soon as the color Sidekick came out, I got one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I've had continuous decent quality web browsing and email and stuff on handheld devices mm-hmm. ever since then. That's very many years ago.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, now, because of the iPhone, everybody's doing handheld browsing.
Right.
So why should I have to accommodate to them and go to their method? Which I don't. I could just stick with Windows Mobile, mm-hmm. I guess, but I don't know.
Well, there's always going to be alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be alternatives. It's just that Apple has a history of thinking things out very, very thoroughly and developing really good graphic, user interfaces that many people cannot compete with. And so this, the iPhone is similar in that.
But I wouldn't argue with you about Apple being so careful, because why, for example, have iPhone, not the iPhone, but all iPods before that, had such horrible cases and been so easy to scratch? If they thought things out carefully, why would they do that? Why don't they have replaceable batteries if they thought things out carefully and cared about their users? And so they're not always that way.
No, but those are corners you can cut. You know what I mean? Those are corners you can cut by saying, well, yeah, we could put a better backing here, but it would cost us this amount of money.
Yeah.
One of something that is also, that also happens, and it may or may not be related to what we're talking about, is Apple, when they come out with new products, new revolutionary products,
mm-hmm.
will almost always take a loss initially.
Okay.
And that is because usually the products are so revolutionary or so evolutionary that the machines used to create the plastics, dyes, and so forth and so on don't exist. Okay. So Apple spends an awful lot of money building these machines, putting them together to create the mass products that they're building. Like iMac was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The colors that later on came out. Well, not even that. Let's just talk about the shape. The shape was so unique and so different that they had to build machinery to actually handle this stuff.
Sure.
And that was the cost for that was huge. But mm-hmm. once they plunked down the money, other companies came in and started basically using the same machines to build other products that were similar,
but plastic,
and the cost came down.
Colored plastic molded special shapes. Apple didn't exactly invent that,
No, but for the shapes that they were that they needed for the first generation iMacs, did cost them an arm and a leg to actually put those machines together to build that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, but the plastics of the iPods. What I'm complaining about of the iPods is that very shiny metal back, which costs them more money.
Yeah.
Is disastrous.
Does it cost them more money?
Probably than plastic.
I don't know.
Because at the time, there's all kinds of plastic products that don't get all scratched up. But the old iPods have that mirrored back that looks beautiful for about 10 seconds when you take it out of the box.
Okay.
And then immediately gets all scratched up and destroyed.
Okay.
And then the plastics on iPods get scratched up very, very easily, whereas plastics on phones and other devices don't. So that's what I mean. Apple is not careful with things like that. Okay, why doesn't the iPhone and iPods, why don't they have a little tiny little memory card on the side? There's got to be room. Maybe the micro SD cards are so tiny now, the smallest of other phones.
I don't know.
Because they don't care about their users. They're not.
No.
They don't do all these innovative things. They don't care about their
users. That's a marketing thing. That's got to be a marketing thing. Same
yeah.
with the battery that's not replaceable. Yeah. That, again, is a marketing thing.
Yeah.
I think they're purposely limiting certain functionalities because they feel it's going to be a benefit to Apple.
Right. Right. everyone talks about how Apple is so innovative and always for the user and always designing for the user, and it's just not always true so much.
Well, okay. Who's going to use the secure digital card? You or I, yes. The general public? Probably not. If you want to make mass produce a device that's going to be widespread and used by people with varying degrees of intelligence and technical know-how,
you plug the fucking card in.
Yep. Okay.
Now, I'll grant you, for my friend Bernard, I had to buy him one, and I had to plug it in for him. I'll grant you. But you plug the fucking card
in. But if you're five or six or seven or whatever, and you're complaining to your mom about getting an iPhone, that's a waste of your money if the card is never going to be used at all, period, through the life of that phone, or through the life
of the... That's not true, because remember, the iPhone's an MP3 player. But people accumulate any amounts of music on it.
But what I'm saying...
some more memory.
Yeah, but... Yeah. My point? My point is that if you are marketing a product that's to the public like as a whole, throwing gadgets in that may or may not be used,
every other phone in the entire world has,
and is probably ignored by a majority of the users.
Maybe, I don't know.
So I don't know. Maybe that was smart. Maybe that wasn't smart.
Yeah.
What's funny though is that because they come up with really interesting designs, companies do try to copy them in certain things, and sometimes they get it better. Right. So Sprint is one of these companies who are getting a bunch of different phones that are sort of what they call iPod Touch iPhone killers.
But they're not. They're not at all.
What it means
to be an iPhone killer is to take a regular phone, remove the keyboard, making it worse, because then you have to deal with these virtual stupid on-screen keys, and don't do anything else. Yeah, the iPhone at least makes it up to you, because yes, you have to use the stupid on-screen thing that's so hard to use, but at least it has a million other things that gets right, that does right. But all the other supposed iPhone killers simply remove the keyboard and put buttons on the screen, and that's it. They leave all the other functions stupid and boring. You know? Oh, and then they make icons. They do a pattern of icons on the screen for the main menu programs. And that's it. And that's why they call themselves an iPhone killer. But they just don't get it about what actually is special about the iPhone. So anyway. And that Sprint, Sprint is also raising their price. You have to pay a higher price to use that. You have to buy unlimited plans that you wouldn't need with other phones. And even people who have the employee discount plan, like I have, we should talk about that soon. Someday, Sprint has this employee referral discount plan, but the public can get it quite easily.
Okay.
But supposedly, the people like that cannot get the Sprint Instinct, and you have to switch to some other plan to get it.
He's ridiculous. He's back.
Really? Okay. Oh, that's because he was taking it off to his nest. That's our theory, that he eats a little bit here, and then takes the food off to his nest.
Yeah.
But. Wouldn't you rather have pizza, little fellow?
Yeah.
You know, this kind of spicy food here. I don't know if you really like it that
much. Would you like to go eat?
It's not really that sugary.
You're just going
to
get upset, and we run the risk of getting stung.
I know. Yeah, you'd really rather go to...
No, it's two.
Really? Aw, isn't that cute?
Not really.
Oh, he may bring a whole swarm. He probably went back and did a little bee dance and stuff, and they're going to bring a whole swarm of them here.
Hmm.
But anyway.
And then we'll be eating shawarma.
Yeah. Swarm. Swarm cast.
Yeah. No, they need to do something to get rid of these guys.
I know. Okay.
Guys, come on. Get out of here.
I know.
Go away.
We should. Do you have your video camera? I have mine. Let's video Wes jumping up and down because of the wasps. It should really be once. Just because it's trying to get in your mouth, is that a problem?
Yes.
Does that bother you when it tries to get in your mouth?
I don't want them in my mouth.
Oh, okay.
You're not going away.
Yeah.
They're like, let's get that guy. So, anyway,
so have any more items?
I've got freebies.
Yeah?
Okay. Now there's fine. Three. That's not good.
I told you, they told her. They do a little dance in the nest. I don't know. I guess wasps do the same thing as bees. I don't know how wasps do it.
I don't know. Communicate.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah, we moved inside.
Yeah, the wasps kept multiplying.
Yeah.
They were not bees.
We're just up to three.
No, we were up to four.
Oh, there was
when we hit four, I was like, okay, I'm
done. Okay.
The food is coming back.
So I have a couple of Bluetooth
Well, I got freebies as well.
So, oh, do you? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. That's right. You said
so, yeah, I spent some time looking at some free software.
Okay.
So the biggest one on the list of the freebies is Mozilla Firefox 3.
Yeah, I downloaded that on download day. Did you download it the day you were supposed to?
I did not.
It was actually not that hard. People were predicting that the servers would be all crowded and hard to do, but I did it and it was just fine.
Yeah, and then there was talk about how great it all worked and how everybody who went to get it was able to download a copy.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's got amazing functionality.
Mm-hmm.
It's stable, it's fast, probably faster than a lot of different browsers out there right now. So, and that goes for Safari on the Mac, by the way.
Okay.
Which people claim is really, really fast.
Hmm.
But I don't want to really go into the features of what's new, although that's probably... Because I actually don't know.
Yeah. Just go to getfirefox.com. Right.
Yeah. All the plugins work, by the way. All the old plugins are supposed to work with the new Firefox 3.
Okay.
Which, I just read that. I have not tried this.
You know what, though? It complained about me. When I installed it, it complained that my RoboForum and me one or two others were too old. I don't know. I hardly ever use Firefox anyway.
Okay.
So I didn't pay attention to it that much. But it was definitely complaining about some of mine.
Okay. So the other application that's really huge, and I am going to try this because I like Gmail. I have a Gmail account.
Mm-hmm.
Is the application that you use that allows you to store files, binaries. It turns your Gmail account into a remote FTP server.
Okay.
So you could take files off of your drive, and using this application called GSpace, you can upload files to your Gmail account and have them act like an FTP server. It's not supposed to interfere with your mail, it's just supposed to simply, like, I don't know if it's VinHex or what, but it stores the data and turns it into a drive.
But basically it turns your pieces of your files into email messages.
Yes. Which are somehow not visible, I believe. They might be visible.
Probably just tags them with something you're supposed to hide, maybe.
Okay.
So it kind of makes the file system, by knowing the names of the emails that contain the little pieces of each file, somehow it puts together a whole file system out of that.
The idea is kind of intriguing, because it's, you know, the amount of storage that you have in Gmail, to use that is pretty awesome.
But there's other things now that kind of do the same thing cleanly without having a kludge like that.
Right.
How much does Gmail give you nowadays? It is more than the other ones give, I guess. But
wasn't there some ridiculous proclamation that they gave you unlimited storage space?
I don't know. Because they started out as the 1 gigabyte one, right?
Right.
And with the 2 gigabytes and all that. Yeah, I'm not sure what they have now.
Well... Yeah, I don't know what the standard standard storage size or email account size is when you open up a Gmail account.
Right. But I don't know, things like that just sound like they'd be very kludgy.
Okay.
Because any little mistake goes on, or Gmail changes something, and they can no longer track these little pieces of files, they turn into fake emails. I don't know. It just sounds dangerous somehow.
Yeah. Well, the one you spoke about earlier in the podcast.
That one's a little company may go out of business. Is the problem with ones like that, you know. Certainly don't want to rely on them only.
What was the software product that uses the S3 Amazon
Jungle Disk?
Jungle Disk.
Yeah.
Jungle Disk
isn't quite the same.
And it's not free.
Purpose, but yeah. Jungle Disk and Amazon S3 service is not free, but they're pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are much better, much more reliable for real long-term storage.
And if this company were to go out of business, you can still retrieve your data.
Yeah, because it's still on Amazon service.
Right.
Anyway, anything else?
Okay.
Check out Bluetooth items.
Okay. The last story that I have is about people who are just entering into the tech market and expecting riches and fame and stock options and things like that.
Right.
Because there have been some ups and downs in the market, and right now the tech industry, from what I can tell, is still hiring certain people. There are layoffs. There have been some things that have caused the market to go down. But all in all, the tech industry still remains pretty strong.
Okay.
And this article was put out there to sort of make people rethink
the possibility of us getting rich, and having this perfect job.
Right.
And so as a result, they kind of quote salaries from different different type of job types. Now, again, like we always do, I'll post a link.
Like an engineer at Google, they make a million a year, don't they?
No. And they talk a little bit about how going to work for a company like Google with the prestige that it has, you don't make the large sums of money that you would from another company with less prestige, because they're banking on the fact that you're going to have fun working here at Google, and because we're Google, and we know you're going to want to work here, we can lower the salary a little.
What about stock options and stuff? They don't get a lot of stock.
That's not as common as it used to be for these tech companies, supposedly. Although some still offer it, but with all the, what is it called, the new rules about how stock is handled. And, what's the big name?
I mean, they have to be honest.
To
be honest and not lie, not cheat.
Right.
But yeah, okay.
So, and IPOs not being as frequent as they used to be.
Right.
And venture capitalists actually wanting a product nowadays.
Oh, real? So it actually does something? Not just something free?
I've actually heard the opposite. I've heard that some VCs are just as silly as they were back in the dot-com boom, and that as long as you do a project plan on a napkin that makes that is like really, really fancy.
Right.
And
well, how about something like BrightKite?
Yeah.
Or like Twitter?
Yeah.
That's free and has no business plan other than be free. How about something like that?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, Mark?
Okay. So, I have these Bluetooth items. One is that they're promising Joby, Joby.com, which normally makes these little camera tripods called the GorillaPod.
Oh, yeah. I know about those, yeah.
Yeah. They're coming out with a Bluetooth headset that I think I'll like, but it's vaporware. They keep delaying it. This time they said they're really coming out with it this summer. They really are now coming out with it. It's called the Zivio, Z-I-V-I-O.
Okay.
Have we talked about this before?
No.
I always ask that question.
I know.
Because it sounds familiar, but... Okay, the Zivio is just your normal looking Bluetooth headset, except it's a little bit, they're trying to be fancy looking, and I don't personally like it that much. It's a little bit too weird for me. But anyways, you're just your basic little rectangular Bluetooth headset. But it has a little microphone stalk, a little thin stalk that pulls out so that you can get it near your mouth. And then if you don't need it near your mouth, you can retract the. You sure we didn't talk about this? So what I'm about to say, I swear I told you, but maybe off the air.
And I could be wrong, but go ahead.
Okay. Because the problem with Bluetooth headsets, the reason they always sound good to you, but to the person at the other end, they might sound horrible. And the reason is that the microphone is too far away from your mouth.
Right.
The microphone should be in front of your mouth because that's where the noise is coming from. But they have this little short rectangular thing sticking in your ear, so the microphone is behind your mouth by about 3 inches,
right.
And that's why they don't pick up that well, and they have to do all kinds of electronic processing to try to get around that effect if they can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Zivio, and there's a couple other headsets I know of, but the Zivio is by far the smallest one, makes an attempt to put the microphone in front of your mouth where it belongs, and they do it by having this tiny little stalk that pulls out just like an antenna of an old-fashioned cell phone pulling out, and it has the microphone at the end of it.
Okay.
And then when you just put the Zivio back in your pocket, or if you don't need the microphone, you just push it back in again.
Okay.
So I've seen them in a show, and they look nice and all that, but I've never heard one. I have no idea how well a microphone actually works.
Well, wait, didn't you tell me that? I do remember you told me about seeing one at a show, and the guy broke it.
Yes. And
in the demo,
I was gonna avoid that because now it's actually about to come out. I don't want to turn people off from buying them, because probably the production model will have that fixed. But yeah, the guy was showing me, because I was very concerned about a tiny little stalk that you pull out.
Yes.
How is that gonna work? Obviously, if it bends in half or anything at all happens to it, then you're dead, right? It's never gonna work. And he said, no, they know how to handle that because they're making it out of, I think he said, nitinol metal. That's extraordinarily flexible and yet has a memory and wants to go back to its original shape.
Okay.
Even though it's so flexible. So he unplugs the stalk, waves it all in all different directions. He ties it into a knot, unties it, it snaps back to its normal direction.
Okay.
So he says, don't worry about it. It's very strong. It's not going to matter what you do to it. And then he pushes it back in and pulls it back out again and plays with it. And then he tries to push it back in, and he can't. And suddenly something got out of alignment a little bit, and he can no longer push it back in.
Okay.
So he tries and tries. He's really carefully. He finally really, really, really carefully gets it to shove back in, pulls it out one more time, and it pops out of the case completely with two tiny little wires trailing after it. But, but, you know, probably he wasn't supposed to demonstrate it to me. That's probably why. But anyway.
So you're never going to want to tie it in a knot is the lesson.
Yeah, in other words, the fact that it's capable of being tied in a knot, you probably don't want to.
Right.
Don't abuse it. And that was months ago, and maybe that's why it was delayed. Maybe they knew the fan problems like that, and they finally have it cured now. So anyway, so the Zibio is one. I have no idea what the price will be. I bet, considering the gadget value of it and what I've seen in other things, I bet they charge $125 for it or something, just because other fancy ones like that tend to get away with that kind of money for a while.
Okay.
And then it'll come down quickly.
Okay. Still, that's not too bad if it's that flexible and you can
But depends on how good the microphone is. In fact, you can pull the microphone in front of your mouth. It should be very valuable.
Yeah.
But maybe they do something wrong where it just still doesn't sound that good, or maybe the earphones not that good. You know, because I say, he wouldn't demonstrate it turned on. He just showed me pulling the stock out, putting it back in again.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Then the other Bluetooth I may have, there's a URL that's just too long. We'll put it on the website, whatsnewisold.blogspot.com, or maybe
slurpcast.com
if we really want to do that. But do we really want to do that?
I like that.
You like it? Okay.
What do you think?
Okay. We'll do it.
What do you think?
What the heck? As far as I know, we can have both. I don't have to redirect it. Blogger has an official way. You don't have to do some stupid redirect that causes problems.
Mm.
Blogger has an official way to have an external URL.
Point
and I believe you keep the original URL as well.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Could you have multiple URLs then this way?
Or? Yeah. You'd have two. But see, the problem when you do the redirect, URL redirects,
yes.
Either it simply does a one-time redirect, and then the address bar of the browser shows the old one.
Oh.
Like if someone goes to slurpcast.com,
yeah.
We could certainly do this. We could certainly have their browser then show whatsnewisold.blogspot.com in their address line. And that's trivial.
Okay.
And you can also hide it. You can also do a redirect that's actually based on frames.
Right.
Where you have a hidden frame and a visible frame. So you redirect and it'll show slurpcast.com at the top. But if you then follow a link, it'll keep on showing slurpcast.com forever because you're kind of locked into that frame or whatever. You know. So anyway, but Blogger does it correctly. They have an official way you can tell them what your external URL is, and they'll properly put that on their server to recognize the external URL when it comes into them and stuff.
Cool.
So, but I think you can still continue to use the old one.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have the thousands of people every day who hit the old one. I hate to have that old URL just simply disappear.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
So that's why we have to support both for a while.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times when we've, you know, had to pay an exorbitant amount of money to facilitate
the
bandwidth.
We have had as many as 5 visitors per day. You thought I was going to say 500 or 5,000, didn't you?
I was shocked.
I know. Well, anyway. But,
I only know of the two that download from Alaska.
Yeah.
And they're not even like necessarily getting the show.
They just watch the videos.
Anyway.
So.
That's really strange.
But anyway, so this URL, I'm going to describe the page right now. I won't give out the URL because it's long, kind of long.
Okay.
But, and I don't remember what it is. There's a real reason.
Oh.
But, so this guy used a service. I forget the name of the service right now, but it's a service that charges money. I haven't really played with it yet.
Okay.
But where you can call it up for a phone and leave recordings, and it'll make you a little flash applet to play back the recordings on your website.
Oh, cool.
And stuff. So he used that service every day when he commuted to work to test a different brand of headset.
Oh, yeah.
So he tested the microphones, so he let you hear what it sounds like to someone else by making calls with the different headsets under different conditions.
Nice.
So he'll say, I'm now using the so-and-so headset, I'm in my car, I'm on the freeway, I'm going 50 miles an hour with the window closed, now I'm going to open the window,
okay.
Now I'm going to turn the radio on, now I'm going to close the window, now I'm going to turn the vent on. So he just has about 10 different brands and models of Bluetooth headsets that he tests thoroughly with all those different conditions like
that's
that.
That's cool. That's so absolutely
they can,
cool.
So he can know what it sounds like to other people.
Okay. So we got to post that up there.
Yeah. And so far, my favorite, listening to all his recordings, my favorite is the Plantronics 925. which actually seems to have some pretty good suppression and stuff. And you can buy that for like $72, is the cheapest I found that
one. Wow.
But I'm waiting for the Zivio to come out, so I'm not going to buy it. But, he tests the Apple one's the worst. By far the worst.
Nice.
Is Apple's little Bluetooth headset that they came out with for the iPhone. The Apple stores don't even push that one.
If you
go in the Apple store and look around at Bluetooth headsets, that one's hidden. That one's well hidden away behind the counter, and they have a bunch of other ones out.
Yeah, it is there, but it is hidden.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah. That's what I say, but they really seem to push other ones. And when you listen to these recordings here, you'll understand why. Because it is the worst. So anyway, since we're running close to time, I never gave out the answer to the other contest.
I was just going to go there.
Okay. So we had this contest that none of our 7,421 users were able to answer this contest. And that's how the slide dial thing works.
They don't have iPods, nor do they have speakers on their computers.
Okay. So they don't listen. Yeah, no. We could get it transcribed. If we paid money, we could get our podcast transcribed. But,
okay.
I wonder how they'd handle how would they handle the slurps, the waiter's interaction and stuff?
No. They'd put it in parentheses?
If they leave out the slurps, why is it called Slurpcast?
Anyway, I don't know.
So Slidell is a service that lets you call someone's cell phone and leave a voicemail message, but without disturbing them, supposedly.
Right.
Because supposedly their phone won't even ring, you'll just get their voicemail. But in reality, their phone will ring like one ring, and they'll see your caller ID, and suddenly you'll be gone, so you can't answer it.
Uh-huh.
So it's really kind of worthless. But still, it's technically very interesting, because you slide dial and call someone's number, and you go to the voicemail, and they have no capability of answering it. And it works with landline services if it's going to the phone company voicemail. And it just acts weird in different situations. It just does very bizarre things. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out how it worked. I was thinking they were doing special SS7 tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, SS7 is kind of the underlying language of the electronic telephone network nowadays.
Okay.
I was thinking they were doing tricks with that, and maybe it has a way to order a phone not to ring or something. And one day it dawns on me, they're calling the number with two lines at the same time, and then they hang up the first one. So they call a number, wait half a second, call a number again, hang up the first one. So the first call makes the phone busy, so it'll go to voicemail for the second call. And they just hang up the first call.
But you can still answer that.
No, it hangs up too fast.
Oh.
It only rings it for around, the first call drops off within a fraction of a second.
But isn't there a slight possibility that you could intercept the first call?
I think you might be able to. I haven't really tried the experiment that much.
Okay.
But every experiment we've done, because we've done a bunch of experiments with trunk hunting lines and all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and every experiment we've done is consistent with just calling it twice and hanging up the first one.
Okay.
And I really think that's all it is. It's not doing any SS7 tricks or anything.
That would explain why it works with different landlines as well as...
Right, right. But if you have a hunting arrangement where one line hunts to another,
mm-hmm.
we found it did not go to voicemail, you got the second line.
Huh.
Well, it's because the first call keeps the first line busy, hunts to the second line,
nice.
And you get the second line. It's just absolutely, that theory is absolutely consistent with every observation we've done and doesn't require any fanciness or anything.
So I had a wild and crazy idea that it actually mm-hmm. somehow called the... You know how, like, you can call a number on the same network and log in? Then type the ID or phone number of the person you want to leave a message for.
Yeah, but we know it's not that because the phone rings once.
Right.
That's why we knew it wasn't that.
Yeah, but that's why.
And it does this hunting thing. You know, if you call a landline and hunting arrangement, it'll hunt to the second line in the arrangement rather than going to voicemail and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that's my theory about why Slidell works.
Nice. So nobody gets the Captain Crunch whistle, not even
That's
Sammy.
Right. That's right, not even Sammy.
No.
I know. He didn't talk to you about it?
No, he didn't talk to me about it. It was not Sammy who talked to me about the show and listening to it. It was somebody that's close to him, who I can't mention his name yet.
Okay. Did they know
that? He likes the swearing.
Oh, but did he know anything about Slidell, or he's not in the phone?
Don't think he knew anything about Slidell. I'm not sure he got to the point where we were talking about Slidell.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, he didn't mention it to me.
Okay.
So anyway.
I got more items, but we're in this. I guess that's long enough.
Yeah, we're over the time. But anyway, so thanks for doing the show, and thanks for whoever's listening. They're probably going to listen only like in a couple years from now. Slurpcast.
I don't know what that's going to sound like.
What is slurped at?
I'm sure you're slurping flavor labor.
It's going to sound gross and disgusting, and, and it'll be in everybody's right ear.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.